Welcome to the Baird Group Corporate Restructuring Review for June 2011, brought to you by the editors of the Troubled Company Reporter and Troubled Company Prospector. In this month's Corporate Restructuring Review, we'll discuss five topics. First, last month's largest Chapter 11 filings and other statistics. Second, large Chapter 11 filings TCR editors anticipate in the near term. Third, a quick review of the major pending disputes in Chapter 11 cases that we monitor day by day. Fourth, reminders about debtors who emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. And fifth, information you're unlikely to find elsewhere about new publicly traded securities being issued by Chapter 11 debtors. Now, let's review the latest Chapter 11 cases in June 2011. Daniel Munoz reports that the number of Chapter 11 cases with assets in excess of $100 million has increased by 33% in June compared to the previous months. The number of Chapter 11 mega cases for June 2011 has increased to 8 compared to 6 in May. For the first half of 2011, a total of 40 companies with assets of at least $100 million filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, or an average of 7 companies per month. 8 of the companies filed in April, and 6 each in March, February, and January. During the same 6-month period last year, there were 57 mega cases filed, an average of about 10 cases per month. The decline in number of mega cases for the 6 months of 2011 as compared to the same period in 2010 was about 30%. For fiscal year 2010, there were a total of 105 mega cases, or an average of about 9 per month. Of the June 2011 mega cases, no company reported assets in excess of $1 billion. So far this year, only 2 companies with assets of in excess of $1 billion have sought Chapter 11 protection: Book retailer Borders Group and MSR Resort Golf Course, both filed in February. During the 6 months of 2010, there was no Chapter 11 filing with assets in excess of $1 billion. The largest Chapter 11 filing for June 2011 was filed by Nebraska Book Company, based in Lincoln, Nebraska. The company is one of the leading providers of new and used textbooks for the college students of the United States. Nebraska Book and 7 affiliate filed separate Chapter 11 petitions with the bankruptcy court for the District of Delaware on June 27, 2011, before Judge Peter Walsh. NBC Acquisition Corp. and its subsidiaries, including Nebraska Book, reached an agreement that will substantially reduce debt to the parent company level and position itself for future growth. The company reached an agreement in principle with more than 95% in principal amount of its 8.625% senior subordinate notes due 2012, and the holders of more than 75% in principal amount of NBC Acquisition's 11% senior discount notes due 2013. That would restructure approximately $450 million of outstanding loans and bonds of NBC Acquisition and its subsidiaries, including the elimination of $77 million of debt at NBC Acquisition level. The Los Angeles Dodgers LLC bankruptcy was the second largest for the month. It operates the Los Angeles Dodgers, a professional Major League Baseball club in Los Angeles metropolitan area. Frank McCourt, a Boston real estate developer who unsuccessfully bidded for the Boston Red Sox, bought the Dodgers from Rupert Murdoch's Fox Entertainment Group in 2004 for $330 million. Mr. McCourt also bought the Dodgers Stadium from Fox for $100 million. The club's petition estimates assets of up to $500 million and debts up to $1 billion. According to Forbes, the team is worth about $800 million, making it the third most valuable baseball team after the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. The LA Dodgers filed for bankruptcy protection from the bankruptcy court for the District of Delaware on June 27, 2011, after MLB Commissioner Bud Selig rejected the television deal with News Corp's Fox Sports, leaving Mr. McCourt unable to make payroll for June 30th and July 1st. Fox Sports has exclusive cable television rights for Dodger games until the end of 2013 baseball season. Chapter 11 filings were also made for LA Real Estate LLC, an affiliate entity which owns Dodger Stadium and three other related holding companies. The third largest Chapter 11 filing by Perkins and Marie Callender Incorporated, based in Memphis, Tennessee. The company is the owner of franchisor of nearly 600 family dining restaurants. The Perkins Restaurant and Marie Callender's Perkins and Marie and several affiliates filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on June 13, 2011, with the Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware before Judge Kevin Gross. Perkins and Marie disclosed $290 million in assets and $441 million in debt as of the Chapter 11 filing. Perkins and Marie, which filed together with its affiliates, blamed the Chapter 11 filing on reduced consumer spending and higher costs for the staples such as sugars, eggs, coffee, and dairy products. The poor economic climate has been a primary factor in the decline in restaurant sales, particularly in Florida and California, where there are large concentrations of Perkins and Marie Callender restaurants, and where high foreclosure rates and depressed economics have prevailed. Revenues of the year ended December 26, 2010, were approximately $507 million. In the weeks preceding the petition date, Perkins and Marie said noteholders entered into a restructuring support agreement dated as of June 6, 2011, designed to mutually and consensually develop and agree upon the parameters of a reorganization program for Perkins and Marie that will, among other things, delever its capital structure and thereby establish a pre-filing blueprint for an efficient and effective Chapter 11 reorganization process. The RSA requires the debtors to achieve certain milestones. DSI Holdings Incorporated and 54 affiliates, including Deb Shops Incorporated, sought bankruptcy protection from Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware to sell all its assets. Founded in 1932, Deb Shops has 318 stores in the junior fast fashion retail market. DEB Deb stores offer moderately priced coordinate women's sportswear, dresses, and shoes for fashion-conscious juniors and plus-size females between the ages of 13 and 25. The stores are located in regional malls and strip centers throughout the 44 states. Deb Shops' first lien lenders have signed a deal to be the stalking horse bidder at an auction for the assets. The first lien lenders, owed $142 million, will submit a credit bid of at least $75 million of its claims. The first lien lenders also have agreed to provide $21.7 million of financing to fund the Chapter 11 case pending the sale. Scottsdale-based Techdyne filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy with Bankruptcy Court for the District of Arizona on June 9, 2011. Judge Charles Case, the second, presides over the case. In its schedules, Techdyne disclosed $100 million in assets and $701,000 in debts, but almost all of the assets' value claimed was for issued and pending patents listed at liquidation value. Other large Chapter 11 cases in June, including Pagamus Rural Broadband LLC, Hingham Campus LLC, and Linden Ponds Incorporated, and Stellar GTTIC LLC. Pegasus Rural Broadband LLC and its affiliates, including Xanadu Holdings Incorporated, sought Chapter 11 protection with the Bankruptcy Court for the District of Delaware on June 10th. They are subsidiaries of Xanadu Company, a 4G wireless internet provider. They sought Chapter 11 protection after failing to restructure $52 million in 12.5% senior secured promissory notes owed to Beach Point Capital Management LP that matured in May. Hingham Campus and Linden Ponds own and operate a continuing care retirement community in Hingham, Massachusetts. They filed a pre-negotiated Chapter 11 petition with the bankruptcy court for the Northern District of Texas in Dallas on June 14th. Senior Living Retirement Communities, formerly known as Erickson Retirement Communities, is the sole member of Hingham Campus. Stellar GT, TIC, and VFF TIC own the Georgian Apartments in Silver Spring, Maryland. Stellar and VFF negotiated a plan for reorganization before filing for Chapter 11. The proposed plan is premised on either a sale of project pursuant to an auction process or a consensual restructuring of the secured debt. In June 2011, two of the mega cases were prepackaged or pre-negotiated restructurings, raising the year's total to 10 cases. For fiscal year 2010, a total of 35 prepacked or prearranged cases were filed, about one in every three filings in 2010. Of the June mega cases, five went to Delaware, one each to Arizona, Northern District of Texas, and Maryland. In May, three mega cases went to Delaware, one each went to Puerto Rico, Central District of California, and Northern District of Illinois. In April, four mega cases went to Delaware, three went to Southern District of New York, and the last went to the Western District of Pennsylvania, specifically Pittsburgh. In March, four mega cases went to Delaware, one went to New Jersey, and the last filed in Puerto Rico. In February, three went to Southern District of New York, one went to Delaware, one went to the Southern District of Texas, and one went to the Middle District of Georgia. Of the January mega cases, five went to Delaware. The remaining mega case went to the Northern District of Texas. For the first 4 months of 2011, 22 mega cases went to Delaware, and seven went to the Southern District of New York. Lehman Brothers Holdings Corp. remains the biggest corporate bust in history. Lehman's, which filed in 2008 and had $639 billion in total assets and $613 billion in total debts at the time of filing. This year's largest bankruptcy filing so far, MSR Resort Golf Course LLC, pales in comparison. MSR Resort reported $2.2 billion in assets and $1.9 billion in debt as of November 2010. MSR Resort and its affiliates own and operate five iconic luxury resort properties with related real estate properties and amenities, including Grand Wailea Resort and Spa, Arizona Biltmore Resort and Spa, La Quinta Resort and Club, and PGA West, Doral Golf Resort and Spa, Claremont Resort and Spa, MSR Resort Golf Course LLC, and its affiliates filed for Chapter 11 protection with the Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York on February 1, 2011. Now, let's return to the topic of large Chapter 11 filings troubled company reporter editors anticipate in the near term. Carlos Fernandez compiled a list of five companies that may be close to filing for bankruptcy. These are Quiznos Corp., Dynegy, LifeCare Holdings, Quantum Fuel, and Dallas Stars. Quiznos Corp. has reportedly hired Paul Weiss Rufkin, Wharton and Garrison LLP, and Moelis and Company as lawyers and investment bankers to assist in negotiating with lenders, according to the Bloomberg News report. The Denver-based company said it hired advisors to help develop a proper financial structure for the company. In June, Quiznos owners planned to invest about $50 million of equity to help company refinance debt and avoid a technical default later this year. The company is working with Deutsche Bank AG to offer a new debt in conjunction with the equity. Quiznos faces a debt covenant test this year that it may fail if it doesn't receive new equity. Quiznos operates the number two sub sandwich chain behind Subway, with more than 4,500 franchises, quick service restaurants popular for their made-to-order oven-toasted sandwiches. It has locations in more than 20 countries. Founder Rick Shaden and his family control the company with backing from the investment firm CCMP Capital and Cervantes Capital. Moody's Investors Service has lowered the ratings of Dynegy Holdings Incorporated, including its probability of default rating and its senior unsecured rating to a CA from a CAA3. The rating outlook for Dynegy Holdings is negative. A.G. Sabatel, Senior Vice President of Moody's, said the downgrade reflects the increased likelihood of a distressed debt exchange transaction occurring within the next several months following Dynegy's announcement of corporate reorganization that seeks to modify asset ownership within holdings through the formation of several wholly owned subsidiaries. Moody's views Dynegy as being a financially distressed company given its high levered capital structure relative to its ability to generate substantial cash flow. The company's cash flow generation is highly exposed to natural gas and power commodity prices, which are expected to remain low over the next several years. The continuing negative rating outlook factors in Moody's expectation that some of the debt restructuring will occur within the next several months. Dynegy produces and sells electric energy, capacity, and ancillary services in the key U.S. markets. The company's balance sheet at December 31, 2010 showed $10 billion in total assets, $7.3 billion in total liabilities, and stockholders' equity of $2.7 billion. In August 2010, Dynegy struck a deal to be acquired by an affiliate of Blackstone Group at $4.50 a share, or roughly $4.7 billion. The offer was raised to $5 a share in November though Carl Icahn, an investment fund Seneca's efforts, shareholders thumbed down both offers. In December 2010, an affiliate of Icahn commenced a tender offer to purchase all of the outstanding shares of Dynegy common stock for $5.50 per share in cash, or roughly $665 million in the aggregate. Icahn failed to garner the required number of shareholder votes. Dynegy warned shareholders in March of this year it might be forced into bankruptcy if it is unable to renegotiate the terms of its existing debt. Ernst & Young LLP in Houston said Dynegy projects that it will likely be unable to comply with certain debt covenants through 2011. This condition and its impact on Dynegy's liquidity raised substantial doubt about Dynegy's ability to continue as an ongoing concern. Analysts are saying that LifeCare Holdings Incorporated bought itself some time with a loan refinancing earlier this year and a subsequent acquisition that will help improve its cash position in the near term, but challenges remain to ensure the company's high debt level is tackled over the next 18 months, according to a Dow Jones DBR small cap report. Plano, Texas-based LifeCare Holdings Incorporated operates 19 hospitals located in 9 states, consisting of 8 hospitals within a hospital facilities, 27% of beds, and 11 freestanding facilities, which have 73% of beds. The company balance sheet at March 31, 2011 showed $454.17 million in total assets, $469.25 million in total liabilities, and a $15.08 million stockholders' deficit. In May 2011, Moody's Investor Service changed LifeCare Holdings' outlook to stable from negative, upgraded the speculative grade liquidity rating to SGL3 from SGL4, and affirmed the CAA1 corporate family rating. Quantum Fuel System Technology Worldwide Incorporated reported a net loss of $11.03 million on $20.27 million of revenue for the fiscal year ended March 31, 2011, compared with a net loss of $46.29 million on $9.61 million of revenue for fiscal year 2010. Ernest & Young LLP in Orange County, California noted that Quantum Fuel's recurring losses and negative cash flows, combined with the company's existing sources of liquidity and other conditions, raise substantial doubt about its ability to continue as an ongoing concern. The company's balance sheet at March 31, 2011 showed $71.9 million in total assets, $33.4 million in total liabilities, and stockholders' equity of $38.6 million. The company anticipates that it will need to raise a significant amount of debt or equity capital in the near future to repay certain obligations owed to its senior secured lenders when they mature. If we are unable to raise the sufficient capital to repay these obligations at maturity, and we are otherwise unable to extend the maturity dates or refinance these obligations, we would be in default, the company said in a regulatory filing. Upon a default, our senior secured lender would have the right to exercise its right and remedies to collect, which would include foreclosure on our assets. According to a default would have a material adverse effect on our business, and if our senior secured lender exercises this right and remedies, we would likely be forced to seek bankruptcy protection, the company said. Irvine, California-based Quantum Fuel System develops and provides advanced clean propulsion system and renewable energy generation systems and services. The Dallas Stars Hockey Club of the National Hockey League is reportedly prepared to file for Chapter 11 protection to push through a sale to Vancouver businessman Tom Gagliardi, a Dallas Morning News report said. Mr. Gagliardi has had his exclusive negotiating window extended beyond 30 days, and he could actually be beyond 60 days right now in the negotiated process. Insiders said things are moving forward, but it is a tough negotiation, in large part because the lenders are expert negotiators. Mr. Gagliardi offers it is subject to approval by the lenders of the NHL. In addition to the challenge companies mentioned in Mr. Fernandez's report, the Trouble Company Reporter provides ongoing reporting about more than 3,000 companies experiencing financial distress and restructuring their balance sheets in a judicial proceedings. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TCR at no cost or obligation. Next, we'll quickly review major pending disputes in two large Chapter 11 cases that Trouble Company Reporter editors monitor day by day. Ivy Magdadero identifies four major disputes pending in the Lehman Brothers case. The disputes involve various claims filed against the estate, litigation between Lehman and Barclays PLC over unpaid bonuses, a lawsuit by Lehman's brokerage unit against Citicorp, and the parent company's own lawsuits against J.P. Morgan Chase. Lehman Brothers said in late June that it has agreements of support of newly revised reorganization plan signed by 30 creditors and their affiliate holdings for more than $100 billion in claims. Lehman said the signatories to the new plan support agreement include substantially all of the creditors who were proposing two competing plans in the Lehman case. The creditors have agreed to hold their rival plan in abeyance while the Lehman plan moves forward. Lehman also said it reached an agreement with 13 institutions to settle $9.6 billion in derivative claims and $6.2 billion in associated guarantee claims. Lehman has filed a third version of their plan of reorganization on June 29th. The plan is to compromise between creditors wanting substantive consolidation of the 23 Lehman companies and creditors that were opposed. The recently amended plan would enable Lehman to pay an estimated $65 billion to creditors the company counsel said. Barclays PLC has asked bankruptcy judge James Pecks in Manhattan to dismiss Lehman's remaining claim for $500 million in alleged unpaid bonuses. The development comes after Barclays defeated an $11 billion lawsuit brought by Lehman's. The Lehman-Barclays lawsuit stemmed from the Lehman's allegation that Barclays got $11 billion windfall when Barclays bought the Lehman North American brokerage business 1 week after Lehman filed for bankruptcy protection. In February 2011, Judge Peck held that Barclays' purchase of Lehman Broker was fair even as the sale process was less than perfect. In May 2011, Lehman urged Judge Peck to direct Barclays to pay the rest of the $2 million in bonuses the UK bank agreed to when it bought Lehman Broker Unit. The bonuses, Lehman said, were due to Lehman's employees. The annual bonuses for 2008 fiscal year should have been paid in full by March 15, 2009, but the employees received only $1.5 billion, Lehman stated. Barclays argued the $2 billion was an estimate of both bonuses and severance payments. It said in a June 22 court filing that it had paid everything assented to in the purchase agreement. Barclays explained that its obligation was to pay 100% of the bonus pool amounts accrued by Lehman employees it took on with the broker unit purchase in 2008. Barclays further pointed out that Lehman said in court last year that the amount accrued and payable was from $700 million to $1.3 billion. In early June, Judge Peck ruled that Lehman Liquidation Trustee is entitled to $4 billion in margin assets related to the broker unit sale. The margin assets are deposits Lehman posted to cover outstanding derivatives trade. The bankruptcy judge has ruled in favor of the Lehman trustee on those margin assets. The June 6th bench ruling means Barclays will have to return $2 billion in margin collateral to the Lehman trustee, James Giddens. The other $2 billion in margin assets is held by third parties or the trustee, according to Barclays. Since Barclays is entitled to $1.1 billion in clearance box assets, as noted in a previous court ruling, the UK bank's net cost for the June 6 margin asset ruling will be near $1 billion. The Lehman Holding Company filed for bankruptcy in New York on September 19, 2008, and sold office buildings and the North American investment banking business to Barclays 1 week later. The remnants of the Lehman broker unit went into liquidation on September 19, 2008. The trustee was appointed under the Securities Investor Protection Act. J.P. Morgan Chase, sued for $8.6 billion by Lehman, has said it reserves the right to a review of the complaint in U.S. District Court and a trial by jury. J.P. Morgan is fighting Lehman's suit before a New York bankruptcy court and saying it was protected by the so-called safe harbor law when it took collateral from the defunct firm in 2008. Congress created the law to protect banks lending to faltering companies, J.P. Morgan said. Such issues are not usually decided in bankruptcy court, J.P. Morgan stated. It has sought a dismissal of the suit. The Lehman lawsuit filed in May 2010 alleged that J.P. Morgan demanded guarantees that fatally weakened Lehman and that those transactions weren't eligible for safe harbor protections. Under the lawsuit, Lehman demanded $8.6 billion in collateral plus tens of billions of dollars in damages from J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan filed a countersuit in December 2010, saying that Lehman tricked it into making billion-dollar loans. J.P. Morgan was Lehman's main clearing bank in the days leading to its bankruptcy filing. Meanwhile, Judge Peck approved a settlement for J.P. Morgan to pay $861 million in cash and securities to Lehman customers. The deal settles outstanding claims of the trustee overseeing the liquidation of the remnants of Lehman Broker Unit, but does not affect the billion-dollar lawsuit between J.P. Morgan and Lehman. Citigroup Incorporated has asked Judge Peck to dismiss a lawsuit filed against its banking unit by James Gidden, the trustee of the Lehman Brothers brokerage unit. Citi said that the suit is without merit and should be settled in arbitration proceeding not overseen by the bankruptcy court. The trustee is seeking the return of $1 billion deposit made by to Citi the day Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy in 2008, plus $300 million in other Lehman funds. In a May 26 filing, Citi's foreign affiliates explained they were under no obligation to settle foreign exchange trades for Lehman in September 2008, but they did anyway under the condition that Lehman deposit $1 billion in cash with Citibank. Citi said that as it continued to extend billions of dollars of credit to Lehman, it ended up losing about $1.26 billion. Lehman cannot turn its back on the bargain and claw back the deposit 2 years later after it has received the full benefit of the essential bank services, Citi argued. Washington Mutual on July 13th began its second attempt to end its bankruptcy. WaMu is seeking a new court approval of a plan to distribute about $7 billion to creditors. And once again, WaMu is facing stiff objections from equity holders. In January, bankruptcy judge Mary Walrath rejected an earlier version of the same plan. While Judge Walrath sent back the plan for modifications back in January, she approved a global settlement at the heart of the plan. The global deal apportions WaMu's assets to major parties in WaMu's Chapter 11 case and resolves an ownership dispute of about $10 billion of assets, some of which were in J.P. Morgan's account by virtue of J.P. Morgan's acquisition of the WaMu Bank unit in 2008 for $1.88 billion. The WaMu plan before the court in January contemplates full payment of to creditors before shareholders, with creditors' claims accruing interest. In contrast, under the revised plan, lowest-ranking creditors appear unlikely to be paid in full, and even preferred stockholders may get nothing. Shareholders appeared to have struck a deal with WaMu last month to take significant stake in reorganizing the company. Shareholders have argued the reorganized company was worth billions of dollars more than the $160 million estimated by WaMu. However, that deal collapsed. Unable to attack the global settlement, shareholders may pin their hopes on making acquisitions of insider trading stick against a group of hedge funds that helped negotiate the deal. They may also try to prove WaMu is giving away valuable tax breaks and legal claims. In a related development, Aurelius Capital Management, a hedge fund which helped craft the global deal under the WaMu plan, now expressed opposition to the deal. Aurelius said in a June 22nd court filing that the deal unfairly enriches J.P. Morgan. The hedge fund asserted that the deal drained money from creditors and that J.P. Morgan should contribute more to the settlement. J.P. Morgan is paying an annual of 0.2% interest to WaMu on the $4 billion deposit in a J.P. Morgan account. The WaMu is the biggest bank failure in U.S. history. The holding company listed $4.49 billion in assets versus $7.83 billion in liabilities when it filed for bankruptcy. Ambac Financial Group asserts that it doesn't owe hundreds of millions of dollars in back taxes that the Internal Revenue Service is going after, a claim that contributes to Amex filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2010. Ambac said in June its accounting was proper when it collected more than $700 million in tax refunds related to credit default swap contracts between December 2008 and January 2010. Ambac said that since 2007, it used what's called impairment method when accounting for losses on CDS contracts rather than wait-and-see method it used before that. The impairment method treats the CDS as contracts in which losses can be calculated before the contract expires, while the wait-and-see method treats them as put options that cannot be calculated until later. In May 2011, the IRS filed claims seeking $807.2 million in taxes paid and interest. Ambeck says IRS filed duplicative claims on the subject taxes. A hearing on the matter has been set in New York Bankruptcy Court on July 25th. Meanwhile, Ambeck filed a plan to reorganization to the New York Bankruptcy Court on July 6. Among other things, the plan contemplates a cost allocation agreement between Ambeck Financial Group on the one hand and Ambeck Assurance Corporation and its affiliates on the other hand. Under the settlement, Ambeck Assurance will share 85% and Ambeck Financial will share 15% in fees and expenses incurred by Ambeck Financial related to disputes with the IRS. Ambeck's disputes with the IRS include an adversary complaint Ambeck filed versus the IRS related to over $7 billion in net operating losses and claims filed by the IRS in Ambeck's Chapter 11 case over back taxes totaling more than $1.5 billion. The troubled company reporter provides detailed reports about every Chapter 11 filing nationwide. Stay tuned to learn more about obtaining a trial subscription to the TSR at no cost or obligation. Julianne Lopez reports about four Chapter 11 debtors who emergence from Chapter 11 has been delayed. Tribune Company, W.R. Grayson Company, Lehman Brothers, and Washington Mutual. Tribune and rival Aurelius Capital Management made closing arguments in support of confirmation of their separate Chapter 11 plans for the bankrupt company before Judge Carey on June 27, 2011. After more than 5 hours of argument, Judge Carey ended the hearing without saying which of the plans he will confirm. Neither did he indicate when he intends to rule on either plan. The court previously scheduled a June 14, 2011 hearing for closing arguments on Chapter 11 plans, but Judge Carey rescheduled the hearing to June 27. Consistent with the court-approved briefing schedule, the plan proponents also filed with the court proposed filings, findings of fact, and conclusion of law on June 3, 2011. On June 16, EPIC Bankruptcy Solution filed with the court a supplemental declaration to report the modifications to the voting results on the Second Amendment Joint Plan of Reorganization or DCL plan proposed by Tribune. Modifications were made to the voting result on the DSL plan as a result of an order approving procedures allowing holders of senior loan claims and senior guarantee claims to change their votes on the DCL plan. EPIC stated that holders of Class 1C and 50C-111C claims submitted supplemental votes to accept the DCL plan. As a result, the DCL plan was overwhelmingly approved by holders of general unsecured claims, senior guarantee claims, and senior claims. Holders of the senior note holder claims and the phone notes claims rejected the DCL plan. At a June 28, 2011 hearing, Judge Carey recognized that sometimes you need a decision from a judge and promised to work on producing one as quickly as possible. The bankruptcy judge said that while both sides are far apart, they still have good reason to continue their discussions toward a consensual resolution. Judge Carey also stated that he would spend his time over in July to come up with a decision on which Chapter 11 plan for Tribune and its debtor affiliates will he confirm, although he made no promises when he would deliver. Judge Carey convened the June 28th hearing to consider Deutsche Bank's request for clarification of a state law conveyance fraudulent claims order that will allow Deutsche Bank and other indentured trustees to seek consolidation of lawsuits filed in various states. Tribune's Chapter 11 reorganization began in December 2008. In W.R. Grace, Judge Ronald Buckwalter of the U.S. District Court for the District of Delaware considered on June 28th and 9th the matters raised in the appeals taken from Bankruptcy Court Judge Judith Fitzgerald's plan confirmation order. The appeals were filed by several parties from Judge Fitzgerald's confirmation of the joint plan of reorganization. The appellates include the official committee of the unsecured creditors, a group of lenders under the Petition Bank Credit Facilities, Garlock Sealing Technologies, the State of Montana, Her Majesty the Queen and Right of Canada, and BNSF Railroad Company. The plan proponents are asking Judge Buckwalter to affirm Judge Fitzgerald's order and enjoin prosecution of asbestos-related claims against Grace and other related parties and channel future asbestos-related claims to the trust established under the plan. At the conclusion of the hearing, Judge Buckwalter made it clear that he won't be issuing a decision in the next week or two. The timing of Grace's emergence from Chapter 11 will be depending on affirmation of the plan by the district court and the satisfaction or waiver of the other conditions set forth in the plan, including the resolution of any further appeals. W.R. Grace marked its 10th year in bankruptcy on April 2, 2011. Lehman Brothers and its affiliate debtors filed a third version of their Chapter 11 plan of reorganization on June 29th. The recently amended plan would enable the debtors to pay an estimated $65 billion to their creditors. Lehman's senior unsecured creditors, with an estimated $83.7 billion in claims, would recover 21.1% of their claims, down from the 21.4% in the plan proposed by the company in January. Meanwhile, general unsecured creditors with an estimated $11.39 billion in claims would recover 19.9% of their claims, up from 19.8% in the prior proposal. A portion of the money owed to the creditors of Lehman subsidiaries will be reallocated to the company's creditors. Creditors of Lehman subsidiaries consented to a cap on some of their claims. The proposed plan has much broader support from creditors than its previous proposals, which would include substantially all of the proponents of the two competing plans. According to a company statement dated July 1st, 30 institutions and certain of the affiliates have executed planned support agreements. Those signing PSAs include substantially all of the proponents of the two alternative plans that were proposed earlier this year. The proponents of the alternative plans have agreed to hold those plans in abeyance while Lehman moves forward toward approval of its amended disclosure statement and confirmation of its amended plan. Brian Marshall, Lehman's chief executive officer, said the amended plan is based on intensive discussions, analysis, input from many parties. It provides for a global settlement with creditor groups and will avoid the costly, uncertain, and protracted litigation that would undoubtedly follow in the absence of the compromise solution. The plan provides a fair and reasonable outcome and will accelerate distributions to creditors. A group of creditors, including hedge fund Paulson & Company and California Public Employees Retirement System, previously filed a rival plan which proposed a 24.5% recovery for senior creditors. It also called for substantive consolidation in which all assets are thrown into one pot and creditors receive a similar distribution regardless of the Lehman unit that owed the debt. Unlike Paulson's group proposal, the bankruptcy plan proposed by the other group of creditors led by Goldman Sachs Bank USA does not provide for consolidation of Lehman's operating subsidiaries into the same asset pool with the company. The Paulson Group, the Goldman Sachs Group, and the official committee of the unsecured creditors signed their consent to Lehman's proposed plan on June 29th, said Bloomberg News, citing a creditor as its source who declined to be identified because the proceedings are confidential. Prior to the filing of Lehman's third amended plan, DZ Bank, AG Deutsche Zentral, Gossenstoff Bank, Mitsui Corporation Bank Limited, Mitsui Capital Markets Corporation, and a group of creditors led by J.P. Morgan Chase North America said they are no longer participating in the discovery process related to the confirmation of Lehman's plans. Lehman had previously disclosed that it is aiming for a confirmation hearing in November to approve one of the three competing plans filed in its Chapter 11 case. Lehman has been in bankruptcy since September 15, 2008. Washington Mutual rescheduled a June 6 hearing on its reorganization plan to gain time to negotiate a settlement with shareholders. In the last 30 days, former WaMu chief executive Kerry Killinger and two other former executives have broken off settlements with Federal Deposit Insurance Group, according to a lawyer for the defendants. The two sides exchanged terms last month to settle an FDIC lawsuit aimed at recovering $900 million for their role in the biggest bank failure in U.S. history. However, talks failed to produce a settlement, and the defendants filed motions with a federal court in Seattle to dismiss the FDIC case. Barry Ostranger, who represents former Chief Operating Officer Stephen Rotella and former Home Lending Chief David Snyder, said there are no settlement negotiations at the moment. The motions were filed the same day as Washington Mutual investors reached a $208.5 million settlement with officers, directors, underwriters, and an auditor, resolving a class action securities fraud lawsuit. That class action federal lawsuit was brought by investors that charged that WaMu Bank had engaged in reckless business practices while intentionally misstating its financial health. The settlement of the lawsuit, which consolidated more than 20 cases, will result in $105 million in payments to individual defendants, $85 million to underwriters, and $18.5 million to Deloitte Touche LLP, the Ontario Teachers Pension Plan Board. The lead plaintiff in the case filed a preliminary approval of the settlement in federal court in Seattle. WaMu's bank unit was seized by its regulator, the Office of Thrift Supervision, at the height of the financial panic in September 2008 and immediately sold by the FDIC to J.P. Morgan Chase for $1.88 billion. The FDIC had accused Messengers Killinger, Rotella, and Snyder of gross negligence and reckless disregard for the long-term safety of the bank. The defendants denied wrongdoing. WaMu filed for bankruptcy on September 26, 2008, the day after the bank was seized. Psych Marikon Castilian reports about four companies that issued or will issue shares of new common stock upon emergence pursuant to the plan reorganization they filed in their Chapter 11 cases in July 2011. The Bankruptcy Court for the Central District of California confirmed EMAK Worldwide Incorporated's plan for reorganization on June 10th, allowing the company to emerge from Chapter 11. Los Angeles-based EMAK, a holding company for marketing companies, equity, marketing, and logistics, filed for Chapter 11 protection on August 6, 2010. Due to a protracted shareholder and related litigation at the corporate level, the company said at the time. Its units, equity marketing, logistics, neighbor and upshot agencies, and operations in Asia were not included in the bankruptcy plan. Under its restructuring plan, EMAK will reorganize around its existing operating business, which, it said, continued to show positive performance. The company will pay creditors in full with interest, and it has secured a line of credit through Crown EMAK Partners. EMAK's common shareholdings, less than 150,000 shares that agreed to provide a release, will receive 10 cents a share. Holders of more than 150,000 shares were given the chance to roll it into an ownership agreement in exchange for providing a release. With the reorganization, Crown EMAK Partners will hold a majority of the stock in the company. Textbook Publishing Company, Nebraska Book Company, Incorporated filed a draft plan of reorganization at the end of June, providing for the issuance of shares of new common stock upon reorganization. Specifically, the draft plan provides for the cancellation of the debtor's existing equity interest. Claims under the so-called OPCO notes will be allowed in an aggregate amount equal to $171 million. In satisfaction of each claim, each holder will receive its pro rata share of a $30.6 million cash payment from the proceeds of a second lien, secured notes to be issued by Nebraska Book, B, a new unsecured note with a face value of $120 million, and C, 78% of the new common equity. The OPCO notes refer to $175 million of senior subordinate notes that require semi-annual interest payments at a fixed rate of 8.625% and to mature on March 15, 2012. As of the petition date, the outstanding principal balance of the OPCO notes was $175 million. BNY Midwest Trust Company serves as a trustee under the OPCO indenture. Food retailer Harry and David Holdings Incorporated amended its plan of reorganization in June, providing for the cancellation of its old equity and the issuance of new equity upon the emergence from bankruptcy. The plan contemplates the reorganization of Harry and David through the elimination of the claims filed by the pension benefit and Harry and Dave senior notes in exchange for the issuance of new stock, and B, a right offering that will provide the PBGC and the note holders with the opportunity to purchase stock of reorganized Harry and David in connection with their emergence from Chapter 11. Harry and David will utilize the proceeds of a rights offering to repay outstanding amounts under its second lien DIP term loan and to refund business operations going forward. The rights offering permits qualified note holders to purchase approximately 74.9% of the stock of the reorganized debtors for $55 million. Because the plan does not require qualified note holders to participate in the rights offering, Harry and David also entered into an agreement with a specific group of note holders to backstop the rights offering. The note holders that are party to the agreement will purchase any remaining stock that was not purchased by the other note holders or the PBGC as part of the rights offering. In consideration for the performance of their obligations under the backstop agreement, the note holders that are party to the backstop agreement will receive 50,000 shares in reorganized holdings. The backstop agreement ensures that the debtor will obtain $55 million in new equity financing upon their emergence from these cases. After the petition date, Harry and David obtained bankruptcy court approval to enter into a $100 million exit facility that would become effective on the effective date of the plan. The facility provides that by the same lenders who provide the debtors with a similar facility prior to the petition date and the $100 million first lien debtor or in possession revolving credit facility permits the debtor to maintain the historical working capital financing upon emergence from Chapter 11 on terms substantially similar to those that existed prior to the petition date. The hearing to consider confirmation of the plan is set for August 11th. The disclosure statement explaining Harry and David's plan was approved on June 24th. Wolverine Tube Incorporated, manufacturer and distributor of copper and copper alloy tube, fabricated products, and metal joining products, emerged from Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection on June 28th. Under the confirmation plan, $139 million of senior secured notes and accrued interest at the petition date has been converted to equity plus $30 million notes. The company defined pension plan was terminated and assumed by PBGC in exchange for 5% equity in the company and a stream of payments over 11 years with a present value of roughly $13 million. The company exits from Chapter 11 as a privately held company with its former senior secured note holders holding a substantial majority of the stock. All old Wolverine common and preferred shares are canceled. This ends the Baird Group Corporate Restructuring Review for June 2011, brought to you by the editors of the Troubled Company Reporter and Troubled Company Prospector. If you'd like to receive the Troubled Company Reporter for 30 days at no cost and with no strings attached, call Nina Novak at 240-629-3300 or visit bankrupt.com/free trial and we'll add you to the distribution list. The telephone number again is 240-629-3300. And that web address again, bankrupt.com/free trial. Tune in to our next restructuring review on August 16th. Thank you for listening.
2, 3.
We are still on the test. Closing the test. 1, 2.